Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Links and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on two key aspects. The first is South Africa's second quarter GDP data that came out last week. It gives us an update on how we're performing, and it did surprise a little bit to the upside. So for me, that is somewhat encouraging. Obviously, we need the data to get even stronger and then remain consistently better than what we've had in recent years. The second aspect I think we need to discuss is the US inflation data. That also surprised a little bit on the upside, but we think that the Federal Reserve is still going to cut interest rates this week. And so I think we need to talk about what is going on in terms of the outlook for US interest rates. Start with South Africa's GDP estimate for the second quarter of the year. According to Stats SA, the South African economy grew by 0.8% in the quarter. That's measured quarter on quarter. That was higher than what most people were anticipating. Our forecast was for an increase of 0.6%. So 0.8%, a decent outcome, especially if you consider that in the first quarter, the economy grew at only 0.1%. So a welcome improvement relative to a underperformance in the first 3 months of the year. If I look at the GDP data over the past year, the economy grew at 0.6%. And I guess that's really where South Africa's growth rate is trending at the moment. And clearly, this improvement that we had in the second quarter, that would have to strengthen further and then remain elevated in order to make a meaningful difference. So I would say it's a welcome uplift, but it's nowhere near sufficient. If we break down the GDP data into the different sectors, most economic sectors had a positive quarter. There were two areas where we did have a decline. Construction activity declined further. And I think the construction sector is now in its ninth consecutive year of decline. That's a massive fall off in construction spending overall. And then the transport and communication sector also had a negative quarter. But for the rest, there were positive contributions, particularly from the retail sector. That's probably our better performing sector right now. And obviously, that's been supported by an increase in household income, which is partly being driven by ongoing two-pot withdrawals, which is not ideal. But even outside of that, inflation remains low. And so for most people, their salary is going up a bit above inflation, creating a positive real income benefit. So I think the consumer side is at least a little bit more buoyant. The other areas where we saw an improvement, we saw a nice bounce back in manufacturing relative to a poor underperformance. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to continue on. We've seen a number of manufacturing sectors under pressure, particularly steel production. The cost of electricity has really hurt our steel manufacturing. And then obviously the motor industry equally under pressure. So I think the manufacturing sector is going to have a tough couple of quarters ahead. Where we did see a more encouraging bounce back was in mining production. Mining production had a bad first quarter, but if I look at the performance in the second quarter, that was very good. And that seems to have continued on in the start of the third quarter. So there's a little bit more optimism around mining. Obviously, some of the commodity prices have done better, but ultimately we need a better rail system and a better port system. Then I think we would see a meaningful improvement in mining investment and mining production. But as it stands, I think a decent overall performance. As I said at the beginning, I think what we now got to focus on is, can we get some of these many plans that have been spoken about in terms of private-public partnerships and developing infrastructure, can we get some of those going in terms of being implemented? Then I think we've got a more meaningful improvement in the South African economy. Obviously, it would help if we got a further interest rate cut. It helps if inflation stays low. But overall, South Africa is desperate for an increase in fixed investment spending, particularly on infrastructure, and therefore an increase in employment. And given the low base of activity, that would make an enormous difference in lifting South Africa's growth in a very meaningful way. The second topic is the US inflation data for the month of August that was released last week and the outlook for US interest rates. So if I look at the inflation data, it did surprise a little bit on the upside. Month on month, the headline inflation rate went up 0.4%. The market was thinking an increase of 0.3%. That doesn't sound like much, but when you're trying to get inflation down to 2%, it does make a difference. So if you look at the overall rate of inflation, the annual rate of inflation, that has now moved up to 2.9%. And I think from next month, I have it going above 3% and then rising even further by the time we get to the end of the year. So I think US inflation over the coming months is going to look worse. It's going to rise quite meaningfully. And obviously, that's going to create some concerns about what does the Federal Reserve do in terms of interest rates. Before we get to discuss interest rates, I think it's useful just to unpack what caused the inflation rate to move up. Obviously, at this stage, we are concerned about the higher import tariffs feeding into higher prices. If I look, though, at this month's data, that wasn't what drove the number. Yes, there are some categories where you can clearly see imported inflation moving higher because of the tariffs, but it's not broad-based and it's not particularly pronounced. So the conclusion is that for the moment, companies are in effect absorbing quite a lot of the tariff increase. That may not last. They may decide over time to pass more of that on to the consumer. But for the moment, I think they're absorbing the bulk of the increase. So if we look at what then caused the inflation rate to surprise on the upside, it was two categories. The one is shelter. During the month, shelter, which is effectively the cost of rent in a house, that went up by 0.4%. That was quite a bit more than what most people anticipated. I don't think it's becoming more problematic. If anything, I think because the housing market has softened in the US, we'll see shelter inflation continue its slowing trend. But during the month of August, it definitely surprised on the upside. And then the other area that surprised was food inflation. Food inflation went up 0.5% in the month. That's the highest increase in a couple of years. And clearly that is representing something of a concern. Not that we think that there's going to be a massive upward shift in food prices, but it's coming off a relatively low base and it has been trending higher in recent months. So I think those two factors were more responsible for the elevated inflation rate rather than import tariffs. So what does this all mean for US interest rates? As I said, they've got the next meeting this week. We think they cut 25 basis points. I think that is widely anticipated. What's going to be more important is what does the Federal Reserve say about interest rates going forward? They're going to release their summary of economic projections. That includes what's called the dot plot. That'll give us a sense of what the members of the FOMC are thinking in terms of further rate reductions. At this stage, the market is anticipating that the Fed will cut three more times this year. By that, I mean September, October, and then December, each time 25 basis points. And you can see how that's changed from really a couple of months ago. Back in July, the last time the Fed met, they were saying, well, interest rates on hold and we are adopting a wait and see approach. But in the interim, it's very clear that the US labor market has weakened appreciably, and therefore the focus has shifted away from this upward drift in inflation and more towards the fact that the US economy is softening and there's a moderation in broadly the labor market. And so the Federal Reserve is likely to respond more to the weakness in the labor market. And in terms of inflation moving up, what they're going to argue is that they think that upward drift will be temporary. They don't think it's going to become self-reinforcing. And so you can get interest rate cuts even though inflation is moving further away from the target. Obviously, there's a risk with that policy approach because you've got to be fairly sure that in time inflation will move down and that it doesn't become a self-reinforcing. But if it does, then it clearly puts the Federal Reserve in a very difficult position. I think they're going to take that risk. They're under enormous pressure from, or political pressure, to cut rates. And because the labor market has softened, I think you're going to see the Federal Reserve express a desire to not just cut interest rates this week, but to continue to reduce interest rates during the remainder of the year and into the beginning of next year. And I think ultimately that will help to boost the economy during the course of next year. So I think we're going to see a different approach from the Fed. We already got a hint of that at the Jackson Hole conference where Jerome Powell spoke. He signaled that that was the clear intention. I think they'll make good on that intention and then signal that there's likely to be further interest rate cuts over the coming months. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.